7-Eleven has more drinks than times you've been caught singing in your car and random lyrics stored in your brain combined. Choose from Big Gulp flavors starting at 79 cents, like Fanta Orange, Minute Maid Fruit Punch, Powerade Mountain Berry Blast, Brisk Strawberry Melon Iced Tea, plus many more only at participating 7-Eleven stores. This summer, put on your favorite song and hit the road with a thirst-quenching Big Gulp drink starting at 79 cents today, plus taxes where applicable.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dodge. The new Fed chair is set to be announced on Thursday. Who is Wall Street placing its bets on?
Good morning. I think that it's going to be Jerome Powell. It looks like it's going to be, and it's less likely that Trump is going to try to come up with a big surprise. I mean, he has enough surprises as it is in this process. I mean, it's been an unusually public selection process during which he openly discussed his views with various candidates, with Republican senators, asked for a vote by hand, and he also asked the opinion of a television host. So I think he's at that point where he's beginning to really narrow the odds of someone other than Jerome Powell. So I suspect, Brian, that there'll be enough surprises in what happens. The fact that every Fed chairman in modern history who has completed the first four-year term was nominated for a second, that's not going to happen. He's also resisting pressure from conservatives to make a larger mark on the Fed's management of the economy. I suspect that it will be Jerome Powell at this point. The one thing that I think will help President Trump is that Powell has sought a middle ground on the contentious debate over financial regulation. Trump and congressional Republicans argue that excessive regulation is restraining economic growth. Well, in June, Mr. Powell did agree that there was room to improve regulation, but he described the Trump administration's proposals as a mixed bag. So he's trying to take the middle ground, and I think that will help. Mr. Powell will be the first Fed chair in four decades who doesn't have an economics degree. So the fact that he has a good background in financial markets will help the Federal Reserve right now in the areas that it needs, and we'll see if he'd be able to pick up the other education he's going to need in order to complete the term and be nominated for his second term.
So essentially then what you're saying is Jerome Powell, safe pair of hands for the Fed.
Brian, yes, I do. And if you had asked me a week or so ago, I would say that just because he's the odds on favor, or that's what Wall Street is expecting, that probably would mean that Trump would pick somebody else. The fact that, and I said several weeks ago that I thought that Yellen would be a good vice chair because she would have the educational support, the background that would be needed for someone to complement his potential chairmanship. So, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards right now. She's kind of fallen off at this point, and we don't expect her to be considered seriously anymore. In fact, whether she stays on or not will determine on whether she wants to stay on. She may decide to retire as well.
Now, moving on to the robust employment numbers, the U.S. Employment Cost Index advanced 0.7%, matching estimates. Total compensation, which includes wages and benefits, rose 2.5% over the last 12 months. So the most essentially since Q1 2015. Given the tight labor market in the U.S., do you anticipate that the U.S. would see a strong surge in wage inflation in 2018? And also then, commensurately, possibility of increased labor force participation?
Yes to both, Brian. The fact that consumer confidence, we either go through a vicious cycle or a virtuous circle. And now everything is lining up to be more of a virtuous circle. You have consumer confidence raising 125.9 in October. It accounts for American views of current economic conditions and their expectations for the next 6 months. The index increased to the highest level in almost 17 years. So we have a surge in confidence, and it comes at a time when U.S. share prices have hit record highs. Stocks have been lifted by strong economic growth. There's been a surge in corporate earnings and increasing expectations of tax reform. I do believe that this will help the labor participation rate to start to regain some of the ground that it's lost over the last 8 years. In 2017, we've been around 62.9 to 63%. In September, we rose to 63.1%. I suspect we're going to see that climb. I would like to see it get to the high end of the 60s and into the 70s. And I suspect it will start to accelerate as we get into January of next year. But I do think the background does support increasing levels.
Now, Dodge, is this labor force tight, the tightness in the labor markets across the board in the U.S., or are there still pockets of depression really in some of the labor markets?
There are pockets of depression. You look at West Virginia and you look at coal miners and you look at various cities who have been founded, who have been the strength of our country based on industries that are no longer as viable or as vibrant as they used to be. So, yes, there are pockets. But what we are seeing now, given the optimism, we're seeing people stepping in to create new opportunities for those who have an education in mining or whatever, and to give them new opportunities, particularly, for example, instead of mining, in creating furniture, building furniture, working with their hands. So we're beginning to see that, but the pockets are there, and it's going to take time, and it's going to be up to management of labor to come in and to support a transition from some of the industries that have been vibrant and strong in the past into the newer industries.
Dodge, let's get some insights from you in terms of Japan. The Bank of Japan left its monetary stimulus program unchanged, even though it's trimmed its inflation forecast and it's not making its inflation target. So, overall, the Japanese economy is on track for its longest expansion in 16 years. Stocks are at the highest levels in two decades. Labor market is tightest in a generation. So what is the BOJ's actions really signaling markets?
Well, the continued optimism of the bank's inflation forecast, that suggests it believes the economy is on track and there's no need for extra monetary stimulus, and that they're not willing to back off or increase or whatever. They're just going to stay as they are. But you note that you'll see the bank voted for the decision by a majority of 8-1. There was one dissenter, and that was Kataoka. He joined the board in July. He dissented. Now, he argued that the BOJ should signal its willingness to increase stimulus if there is a delay in achieving the inflation target. And it was not just words. He also set out for the first time how he would like to increase stimulus. He was looking for a cap on 15-year bond yields at 2.2%, expanding the central bank's control further out along the yield curve. So it's the beginning of a transition for the BOJ, and it looks like it's taking a new member to bring a fresh look at it and a fresh impression. And I think as we get into next year, we'll begin to see a more of a transition.
Now, moving on to the UK, the Bank of England expects Britain to lose up to 75,000 financial services jobs after the country leaves the European Union in 2019. What's the view on Wall Street on London's role as one of the global financial centres in the next couple of years? Will it lose its European crown to Frankfurt?
Well, it could be Frankfurt, Dublin, Paris, Amsterdam. Obviously, if you want to just talk about Europe, it'd be Frankfurt, Paris, and Amsterdam. It is possible. London's role as the world's banking hub is under threat if Brexit costs firms based in London their ability to easily serve their clients across the European Union. Now, obviously, most international banks currently sell their goods and services throughout the bloc from bases in London. But those so-called, they call it passporting rights, those passporting rights are not likely to be extended after the UK quits the EU in 2019. Okay, that part I get, that makes sense. More work with the Middle East, India, China, that will be in the eyesight of London, the London market. Yes, there be possibly 75,000 people will lose their jobs, and that's London-based. But if you look at the overall in the UK, there are over 1 million people employed across Britain in the financial services. The hurdles that will be faced by London will be related to trading inside the European Union. Up until September, London was identified as the world's top financial center. I think one of the reasons why it is the top is because of its access to the European Union. Now, that is going to change. So maybe they will lose the throne and become second or tied with the first, but they'll still be up on top. and they will certainly have more of a history in being able to deal with the world markets than Frankfurt, Dublin, Paris, etc. It really is going to take quite a while for the barriers to international trade and protectionism that we see within the European Union to be brought down so that they become more of a stronghold for international monetary activity relative to London. So, yes, there is a part of the business that London's going to lose. Yes, people will lose their jobs, but those people may find and transition their jobs and their experience to other markets in the world and be looking external to Europe as opposed to internal.
Thanks for your insights, Dodge. That was Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer, Lander & Fuss Capital Managers from New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.